you know what I feel like when I have people with me in studio. So much preferable to an interview over the phone. So Jennifer Paper, CEO of the Family Life Center, that's FAMSA, probably way better known to you as FAMSA. Why am I talking to Jennifer? Because they've just won the award for the best rising NGO at the Corporate Social Investment Legacy Awards, at CSI Legacy Awards. Jennifer, congratulations. That's like quite a big deal, no? Oh,
thank you so much. We're so excited. We are over the moon. Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, so, I mean, let's talk about this award for just a moment. What is it recognizing? What is it that you have done that has suddenly brought you to the attention of this group? What has changed that you're now like...
Okay, I'm going to start from the beginning. My journey is a very, I think, remarkable one, that's why. So our organization was established in 1949. However, during 2020, COVID time, I was heavily busy leading the Hope for Alex campaign, which was a campaign that was feeding and providing sanitary equipment to the vulnerable in all the communities across Johannesburg and actually outside as well. And during that time, the board at the time called me up and said, would you love to take over the leadership at FAMSA Johannesburg?
Okay.
Thought about it for a while. They had to call me back again, and I was like, okay, let me
if
you know,
I have to.
Hesitantly.
Yes.
But when I was appointed on the 13th of August of 2020, within 24 hours the whole board stepped down.
Oh my goodness.
Every single member of the board. And when I arrived at the office 2 days later, I found that we had nothing. When I say nothing, we were on 0% in our account. Had no idea how I was going to pay salary, that month. And
it sounds like you were set up.
Well, I don't want
you to. You don't want to use those words. Okay, that's my words, not your words.
But 6 years down the line, here we are.
You're winning awards, so you clearly turned the ship around.
Wow. Wow.
Just for those of us who recognize the name FAMSA, but aren't really so au fait with what it is that you do exactly, just give me the high level explanation.
So our work really is around rebuilding families. So our core work is mental health, but we focused on rebuilding families. We focused on rebuilding relationships. That is really what we do through our counseling work. So we work a lot with families and couples, and we're in the schools trying to, you know, assist teachers and yeah, our work is very broad. We work with corporates as well to try and improve their staffing and how.
Jennifer, make this more real for me. Without breaking any kind of confidentiality, which obviously I respect, give me an example of when intervention has really made a difference. Maybe one or two examples of where your services have really changed the lives of a family.
Okay. I'm going to make an example of myself.
Okay.
There was a mother who once called in the middle of the night. She wanted to commit suicide. She was crying, and I really had to convince her. Wow, I'm becoming emotional right now. I had to really convince her over the phone to please not take her life. So imagine going to bed that night and not knowing whether this person was going to make it or not. But the beautiful part of the story is that we went to visit her the following day, and we had a conversation with her, and we were able to place her in a administration job. And she literally, she's still around. She was able to rebuild her life, and she still communicates with me up till today. So that is just one example of a story of a beneficiary, a client, where we intervened, even though the timing was off in terms of business hours, but we go above and beyond to serve our clients. So
I want to get a handle on, you know, we all live in our little bubbles and we don't really know what this crazy city of Johannesburg is really about. And I mean, clearly we're living in a time where there is enormous pressure. I'm thinking financial pressure. I'm thinking trauma from crime. I'm thinking social disconnection. I mean, there is so much out there that people have to deal with. What are you seeing? What's translating in the people who are approaching you? Is there any kind of pattern? Are you seeing recurring patterns?
So I think you mentioned trauma, but I think a lot of people have also still not recovered from the from COVID and what that did to families and the losses that they've suffered. And so people are still really rebuilding their lives, but it's not our economy right now, it's not making it any easier. Exactly. So the stress and pressure that a lot of families have with maintaining lifestyles, with trying to keep their kids in school, feeding their kids with the communities that we live in. I was here a couple of weeks ago just talking about that and how kids in school cannot learn because they're not being fed. And so those are just some of the realities that we have or work with within our community, such as Alexandra, Deep Sruit. Westbury has a lot of gang violence, Soweto and Lanesia. So those are the communities that we on the ground in every single day, and we see how people suffer. Yes.
I'm looking at you and you just look like such a normal human being, and I'm wondering where the power to confront these heavy issues every single day comes from. I'm looking at you, yes. I'm thinking you must have a backbone made of steel. You just I don't know. How are you so able to do this job without it coming at an enormous personal, emotional cost? And I'm making a whole lot of assumptions in that question, yes. Because for all I know, there is
very
a huge...
Very interesting question. I was born and bred on the Cape Flats. I don't know if you know it.
I'm Capetonian, man. Come on.
Oh, my word.
Come on. We've just done a fist bump.
Yes, so I was born and bred on the Cape Flats.
That's a tough environment.
We all know what that means.
It's a tough environment.
Just saying Cape Flats. And so I was an orphan. I grew up in a foster family, and I have five siblings, and we were eight altogether having to live in the foster home, and yes. It was tough. And so my mission has always been, since the age of 6 years old, that I wanted any child that I encounter in my lifetime, I wanted to save them. And that has been my mission since 6 years old, and I won't say what my age is.
It's a dynamic. No, you look like you're 22. It's a dynamic that I've always wanted to understand and never have. You know, the abused kid who becomes the abuser, the rapist, the rapee who becomes the... It's just things I've never understood. And you broke that cycle.
Yes.
And I don't know what gave you the wherewithal, the strength and the ability to do that, but you did. And I feel
God.
Powerful stuff. Really, really powerful stuff. Okay, so you have won the award, and I think that says clearly a whole lot about you, specifically when you told me that you inherited this dysfunctional organization on day one that couldn't pay its bills or do anything. And now you're winning awards, and that's pretty astounding. And clearly you've been recognized for your abilities and your contributions. Mm-hmm. But clearly also, an organization is never just about the CEO.
Yes.
Talk to me about your team and the contribution that they give.
So we have an amazing team, and we have offices across Johannesburg that I've mentioned. We also have amazing volunteers and students who come and create impact that is lasting. We're always grateful for that. So our team consists of almost 200.
Wow.
Yes, so that includes our volunteers, our students. I also have an amazing board that really supports us and invest time and resources and skills. So yes, I am not a standalone. And we also, of course, have funders like Social Development and the National Lottery, and you know, other smaller donations that come in that we're so grateful for. It keeps us going. It keeps us making sure that all these communities are serviced, you know, and our mission is also that it doesn't matter whether in Alexandria providing a service, it must be a service that you must feel like you're coming to Sandton. So those are the types of excellence that we strive for.
So we're fast running out of time. I guess the way I want to end this afternoon is by asking you, if somebody is listening to our discussion this afternoon and wants to get involved or wants to contribute in some way, what's the best way to do that?
Well, it is always good for even, I always say even a 50 rand contributes to every little bit of work that we do, but also human resource. So we're looking for people who are able to source funding for us, fundraisers. We're looking for volunteers who can do counseling, people who are able to work with kids, because we have over 100,000 kids per year that we deal with. So every type of human resource, we welcome it. So, yeah, thank you.
Big
so
numbers.
Much.
So we're going to end it there. I just want to tell you, you know, it's not often that you sit in this seat and you feel kind of overwhelmed by the person you're talking to. You're doing astounding work. Thank you for what it is that you're doing. Thank I you. Wish I had 1/10 of what you have in you in me. But, yeah, thanks for coming through to studio.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.